Hello everybody, it's George Milan. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. I'm a bit late for 100 years of Fianna Fáil. Now, I'd lost my voice a few days ago. I know you'd have been praying for me, saying, oh, thank you God for this blessed asylum that he's lost his voice. I know it's the worst thing that ever happened, that I got my voice back. But here we are. I'm a little horse, not as in a pony. But it's a recovering. Right, so Fianna Fáil, in case you don't know, if you're not Irish, probably won't know. It's a political party, and it dominated Southern Irish politics from 1932 till 2011. Was really eviscerated then, but gradually it's come back, and it's the governing party right now. So Fianna Fáil, Warriors of Destiny. Don't want to go too much into the prehistory of it, but it was a splinter group from Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin founded was it 1905? Ourselves Alone, Easter Rising. The misnomer, the Sinn Féin Rebellion. It was a sort of a really fringe group. But anyway, Eamon de Valera and some of the terrorists of 1916 became associated with that party. And then there was the troubled times in the early 20th century, and Sinn Féin was really the political face of the IRA. Okay, then there's the Civil War, and Sinn Féin split. Cumann na Gael was in like the tribe of the Irish. That was another means. They became the pro-treaty party, the Commonwealth Party, saying, okay, we're setting up the Irish Free State. We accept that. You know, Northern Ireland's remaining with the United Kingdom. We've got to have a civilized relationship with our neighbors. And Sinn Féin were the headbangers. But anyway, they lost the civil war, and then they were let out of jail. The Dáileann was going in Dublin. You know, the Irish Free State was self-governing, all the rest of it. And so some Eamon de Valera said, well, why don't we just accept this? And we're going to have to take an oath to the monarch. And so he put that to the party. He narrowly lost. But Eamon de Valera and his minority, they left and established Fianna Fáil, which became much, much bigger, and Sinn Féin shriveled away, became actually largely a northern party by the 70s. I know it's changed since. But that's it, the party of reality, as some people called it. Okay, so he previously said he would not take an oath of allegiance to the King of Ireland, George V. And eventually he changed his mind. Partly, so a slightly constitutional party, as Sean Lamass said, one of the future Taoiseach, he belonged to Fianna Fáil. Okay, so they got into that. 1926 established that 16th of May. Then there was the murder of Kevin O'Higgins, the Minister for External Affairs, as in Foreign Minister next year. And so Eamon de Valera hadn't actually taken his oath. He went and took his oath on the Bible. I think he signed it, but he put the Bible in the far corner of the room, as though somehow this invalidated it, and that was it. All right, so they were in 1932, they won the election, and would Cumann na Gael leave office? And they did. It was a major test for democracy. And but Fianna Fáil were ushered into office, having been trying to destroy democracy only 10 years ago. They tried to make Southern Ireland economically self-sufficient. They were real nationalist morons, you know, starting the so-called economic war against Great Britain. Only how to say purblind and feeble that Neville Chamberlain was, that, you know, obviously we would have lost Southern Ireland. But yeah, not to pay the land annuities, always trying to, you know, renege on agreements that were made and so forth. So appealed to more of the proletariat, some of the rural poor and so on, trying to be more a goody-goody nationalist, you know, the last refuge of the scoundrel and so forth. And to do more to promote the Irish language, to discriminate against those who were Anglophones, monolingual Anglophones, those who supported the treaty and so forth, or Cumann na Gael. You know, I knew of a doctor then who said they couldn't get dispensary jobs because he was known to support Cumann na Gael, which later became Fine Gael, merger with other groups like the Farmers' Party, the Ratepayers' Party, and yes, unfortunately, the Blue Shirts. All right. So that was it. So then they're in office right up to 1948, guiding us through the Second World War, the emergency, as you called it, staying out of it. But you know, Fianna Fáil and the IRA, they overlapped a little bit in the 1930s, then they were able to split. Eamon de Valera, our American-born, supposedly half-Spanish Taoiseach, who dominated nationalist politics for 58 years. A Taoiseach is president and, okay, sometimes leader of an opposition party. But he's the one who really came down hard on the IRA. And you see perfidious Hibernia. Obviously, we're not mostly dishonest, but nationalism is. And then castigating Great Britain and Northern Ireland, being firm with terrorists, but actually being harsher in Southern Ireland. You know, so IRA men executed when it wasn't even alleged they fired deadly shots or even possessed a weapon at incidents when guards were murdered. The guards are the police in the Republic of Ireland, and things like that, allowing IRA men to starve themselves to death, but then denouncing the United Kingdom for, say, for not releasing dangerous criminals from prison because they're attempting to commit suicide in this way. So that was it. So Eamon de Valera, and then he lost office briefly. There was the inter-party government, 1948 to when was it, 51, John A. Costello came in. And they were said they were going to have Richard Mulcahy, but he was a general in the Civil War, and he'd authorized the execution of IRA terrorists taken under arms. That was too contentious. John A. Costello, a former judge, wasn't it, came in. And then Eamon de Valera came back as teacher for a few years, eventually became president, providing some. Now, Douglas Hyde, I suppose, our first president, I think he's Fianna Fáil as well. He was, okay, and indeed a Protestant, one of two Protestant presidents we've had. And after Eamon de Valera retired as Taoiseach, Seán Le Mas was Taoiseach, then Jack Lynch, eventually Charlie Haughey. Charlie Haughey had married Seán Le Mas's daughter. Was this part of his grand political plan to get to the top? So, yeah, in office most of the 50s, most of the 60s, most of the 70s, out of office 1973 to 77. Then in the early 80s, sort of even Stevens in office and out of office briefly. Other Fianna Fáil presidents, well, they all were. I'm just trying to think, Carullo Dawla, and well, God, who was the one who, Erskine Childers. Then Dr. Patrick Hillary. It's not till 1990 we had a non-Fianna Fáil president, Mary Robinson, and so forth. Okay, so yeah, Charlie Haughey was the gombeen man, this complete shyster, extremely corrupt, not paying tax, threatening the Bank of Ireland to wipe his debt and stuff like that. But was kind of, had this Catholic ethos, which was mostly terrible. The only good thing was it was we did defend our children. Was saying no divorce, no contraception, no pornography, no homosexuality. We must know contraception because it would be bad for your health. Are you out of your mind? This is when AIDS was ravaging people. I don't think prophylactics were bad for people's health and for morality. And while Charlie Haughey was having a long-term affair with Terry Keane, this journalist, and she was married to a judge. And you know, I remember reading the memoirs of who was it, Frederick Forsyth, the novelist, in Dublin. In was it the late 70s? He went to a dinner party. Charlie Haughey was the host, and his mistress was the hostess. And Dublin High Society knew that he was having this long-term affair with her, but the journalists would never report it. And so that was it. Now, I mean, I don't mind him committing adultery or anything like that, but I do mind him then saying that other people can't do what they want when it's not harming anybody else. Okay, so it was kind of ideologically promiscuous, talking left and acting right. I mean, in a country with obviously high unemployment, a lot of people on benefits. Right-wing economics were not going to be terribly popular. And there was a Rainbow Coalition, 94, 97, that fell apart. No party could rule on its own without them. Progressive Democrats had split in the 1980s, led by Des O'Malley, a prominent solicitor from Limerick. His family was well known, though their firm of solicitors in that city. And they were pretty Fianna Fáilists who couldn't abide Charlie Haughey. But that party folded in the early noughties. He's long dead now. Anyway, so they were out of office briefly in the mid 80s when Dr. Fitzgerald was in Fine Gael in coalition with the Labour Party with the Thornisher, Dick Spring. Thornisher meaning literally successor in Irish as the deputy prime minister. But back in the 90s, that's when we learned to love Thatcherism, and the Celtic Tiger really took off. That was it. Bertie Ahern, a complete ignoramus, total Pinocchio, pathological liar, lying about his education qualifications, claiming he attended was at UCD and the London School of Economics. He never attended either of those, filing any qualification, claiming he was an accountant. He was not an accountant, but somehow a man of the people. Somehow is deeply unimpressive, a terrible public speaker, and did very well. We also had Albert Reynolds. Reynolds, a bit of a non-entity, but at least he wasn't a complete liar. So, and that was the odd thing, is the rhetoric and the reality were poles apart, saying that they were Republicans, but fortunately, strong counter-terrorist measures against the IRA and stuff like that. And then quite Europhile, not as rampantly Europhile as Fine Gael. So that was it. Saying that they were socialist and then they were capitalist at the same time. But they led to us being NAMA land, to National Assets Management Agency, to this massive property bubble which burst about 2008 during the credit crunch. And then we were absolutely smashed as a party. Not we, sorry, the party was smashed. And Micheál Martin stayed with it. The guy was Lord Mayor of Cork in the early 90s. He was Minister of Education in the late 90s, realizing that eventually the party would revive. And it took about 10 years, and it did. And look where he is now. But for the first time, the two civil war parties, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, are in coalition. But, you know, Micheál Martin, a low-down scumbag, a mass murderer, who approves of the murder of our children. And he's not even sincere. There are people like Ivana Bacik who've long applauded the murder of girls and boys. But she's consistent. She believes in what she's doing. He doesn't. He knows it's wrong. He will do anything for office. He'll do anything for power. He is vile. He's the lowest of the low. So has a very deleterious impact on Irish politics. Sometimes they used to name their cumann, as in their clubs, local associations, after IRA in the past. I missed out, you know, Brian Cowan, who was for a while, Biffo, big ignorant fucker from Offaly, that UCD-educated solicitor. I think he's son of a TD as well, who was Taoiseach 2008, 2011. Fairly dreadful. I mean, we haven't had an inspiring leader for ages. I suppose Jack Lynch, very difficult time, late 60s, early 70s. You know, a highly intelligent man, someone who believed what he said, someone of personal integrity, leading through the very delicate period, the early years of the Troubles and so on. Someone who was distinguished, who captained Cork to the GAA hurling victory in 1939, days after the Second World War began. Eamon de Valera, evil bastard in many ways, he was unafraid of death. He was, to some extent, a man of his of principles. But all the others have just been political pygmies, have been complete shysters. I mean, I suppose we had George Colley, who was a prominent figure in the 70s. And Colley, he, distant relation to the relative of the Duke of Wellington, because their surname was really Colley, not Wellesley. Brian Lenehan, so another complete liar, shyster, crook, along with Charlie Hockey. I just really think if there anybody else who's really notable. Suppose not. They're often these dynasties like Brian Lenehan Jr., Moira Gagan Quinn. Now, De Valera's daughter, Sheila, was quite prominent. I think one of his sons was at Bibion, was a TD. Sheila didn't get that far in it. And so there we go. All right. So they play a baleful role in politics. They're not the worst. You know, they're supposed to be dissident Republicans are. Sinn Féin's not even that bad anymore. But it's depressing how bad people win most of the time. Right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate PayPal, George Callan, 792.com. Goodbye.